The 40 for 80 podcast is presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team. Now, here's your host, Jeff Dantzler.
Hello and welcome to 40 for 80, the sweetest season, episode 12 in our chronicles of Georgia's magical 12-0 run to the 1980 National Championship. Today, we revisit the Bulldogs' 17-10 Sugar Bowl victory over Notre Dame in New Orleans to clinch a national championship and a perfect season. Our very special guest today, the team captain out of Barcelona, Spain, by Greenville, South Carolina, one of the best Bulldog linebackers ever, number 48, Frank Ross, and true freshman tailback out of Wrightsville in Johnson County High School, the greatest college football player ever, number 34, Herschel Walker. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Frank, let's start with you. We've talked about it, your freshman year, losing season, great year in 78, crazy up and down year in 79, and here we are playing for the whole thing. What are you thinking going into the game? And also, do you realize at this point just how much this game means, this season means to so many people?
Well, first of all, we never had an undefeated, untied in the national championship at Georgia. But like I said in the other interviews, we're very focused one game at a time. And when we got to Notre Dame, it was exactly the same thing. We were focused on that one game only. And, you know, our goal was to win it. I mean, we were dialed in, ready to go, prepared. And it was an important game. If we won it, we win the national championship. If we don't win it, we lose it. It's very simple.
Herschel, obviously, you came in and had an enormous impact. This is an unbelievable freshman class. And how much did it help for you to be surrounded by veterans? When you think about all the seniors on that offensive line, that Amp and Lindsey were veterans, Buck and Jimmy Womack and Ronnie Stewart, did that make the transition a lot easier for you, having all those veterans around you?
No, it did make the transition a lot easier. And I think one of the things that made it such a great, great opportunity for the freshmen is having a team to be a team. I played on a lot of different teams around the country, but I never played on a team that was as close as this team here. And I'm talking about as soon as we got to campus, you know, the freshmen as ourselves, even though we were a little bit, harassed and pushed, you know, they gave us a but it was strange because you can tell that there was a closeness with this team. It was really unusual. And, you know, when you look back today, you knew that something special had to happen, how close this team was. It was very unique.
Herschel, can you talk about that camaraderie some? I know that senior class in particular, so close still to this day. And you guys as a group, it really is remarkable, the friendships that you've forged and that you've kept for all these years.
Well, yeah, I think what made it a great thing to have the leadership. I think to have anything to be successful, you got to have leadership. Well, you know, we had a senior class that had been playing for a while. They had great leaders. You know, with Frank, I hate to say he's on the call with us. But he was there, and you know, with all the other leaders that was there, and then you had the freshman class coming in. But you also had the guys in between. You know, the other guys that had been playing. They've been playing for a long time. They had that experience. But, you know, I think because of the leaders, they took control of everything. They, sometimes being a leader, you take responsibility for some things that an underclassman may do. And I think the leaders here did that. And by doing that, it made the underclassmen know then that these are people you can trust. And I think another thing that was very, very good is having coaches like Coach Russell and, you know, with Coach Dooley and all the coaches there because, we came as one. And I remember Coach Dooley saying that in a meeting. He said, you know, if we continue to stay together, we're going to win championships. And that's the honest truth. That's the way it is in anything. You stay together, you fight, you lose, you do everything together, and you're going to do some great things.
Frank, I remember going into this, and obviously it's a lot different now, but Notre Dame's, quote, massive offensive line, it was 255, 260. I think the left tackle went 270 pounds. Their quarterback's about that size these days. But, Frank, what were your thoughts going in with that big Notre Dame offensive line, or did this defense just say, hey, this is another challenge for us, we've handled everything this year?
We obviously saw the stats. We got the player reviews, so we knew the size of the guys. I mean, the two tackles were 6'7" and 6'9", and we know they ran anywhere from 265, 270. You had John Scully at center, who ended up playing for the Falcons, second-round draft choice. Out of those five guys and starting line. I think all five ended up getting opportunities in the pros and playing some. You had the gentleman that played for the Bears in 85 there. I can't think of his first name. Anyway, he was offensive guard. They had a big offensive line. But, again, we were so dialed in and focused on what we had to do. And we've had enough – I think we had enough confidence in ourselves that if we do what Coach has told us, and on the defensive side, what Coach Russell explained to us to do, and we did some minor adjustments that kind of confused our line a little bit, you know, we do okay. If everybody continued to do what created turnovers that year, if everybody hustling through the ball, if you get knocked down, get back up and start running, because you never know when your hand or your arm would be the one that knocks the ball out. And you saw what happened in that game. We had, I think, four turnovers, if I remember correctly. But they had a great offensive team. They had Hunter, a wide receiver, who ended up – he was a 6'4 wide receiver. You had the tight end was actually our the Catholic – the student Catholic center at Georgia. It was his, the priest's nephew was actually starting – Houlihan was his name. And so you had Carter running back. So they had a great team. But I felt like, you know, we played like we were capable of playing and hustled. That was our thing, hustling. In gang tackle, we'd be all right.
Yeah, Tom Thayer, one of those big offensive linemen, played with Kevin Butler. Now, Frank Herschel's too humble to admit any of this, but we talked last for the Texas A&M game. Coach Cavan was on, and he said undoubtedly, coincidentally, his three best years as running backs coach were 80, 81, and 82. Job number one, make sure number 34 got on the bus.
Well, yeah, and make sure he got the ball during the game.
It's funny because Frank was saying something that and I think this is great about this team, which I think was so special, was that, you know, and I hate to say it like this, sometimes when you're naive and stupid, God takes care of you. Because, you know, no matter who we face, I don't think we really cared about who it was. I think we knew what we had to do, and we just figured if we go out to do what we're supposed to do, you know, we're not going to look at the scoreboard, but when it's all said and done, we win the game. And I honestly, that's the way I think I felt that whole time. We went into every game, I don't think knowing that we were going to win or lose, went into that game knowing that we play well and do what we got to do, the scoreboard is going to end up in our favor. So it wasn't about scoring points. It was just about doing your job. And I think that's what everybody on that team decided that they're going to do. They're going to do their job. And whoever fit into that slot at the time was going to go out and get it done. Because, you know, and I say this all the time, and I said, you know, and I look back today and I said, sometimes I get angry about it. And it, you know, this is years later. I said, I asked this question and I said, you know, you talk about Notre Dame offense, talk about Notre Dame defense, but you talk about all the great teams we played against. And I said, now Herschel Walker is considered one of the greatest running backs or whatever, but why is not one of my offensive linemen considered that as well? Because when you look back at that team, you look back at me running the ball, you don't see me get hit in the backfield that many times. And for a running back, that's incredible. And that's why I said, guys, I think we have a misconnect somewhere, because this was a team. It wasn't about one or two players. It was about a team. Because, you know, I look at the Notre Dame game, and I was embarrassed because this was so funny. I've never seen that game until we had a reunion. Frank, you can tell when the reunion was. We had a reunion where they were playing the game up on the big screen. So I happened to be sitting out there watching this reunion, and I noticed that the offense only had the ball maybe, 15 minutes? We didn't have the ball all at all. The defense played the whole game. And I go, wow. And I was sort of embarrassed because I'm like, how in the heck can they play the whole game and we hardly play at all, but we win the game? And that just shows that it was a team thing. It had nothing to do with individuals, but it had to do with a team this whole time.
And there was other games that it was the reverse. The offense drove the ball, kept the ball in control, kept defense off the field. As far as Notre Dame, Herschel, I think the breakdown was 65% of the plays were defense, 35% I think were offense. It's been a while.
You don't have to give us the stats, Frank, to make us
feel I'm just making you credible here, brother.
Oh, okay. Hey, how many minutes was defense on the field?
Well, you figure 65% of that, 60, you figure we got 60, about 30, probably about 40 minutes out of the 60.
Wow, and you know, and that's what's absolutely amazing and stuff, that offensive team that had the power of Notre Dame, and I think that just shows what you do as a team. Because, and then the special team played well, mm-hmm. that game as well. You know, people forget about what the special team did as well. So it shows that, you know, we went into that game, and I hate to say naive and stupid, we went into that game focused. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't that we wanted to go out there and win this football game. We wanted to go out there and do our job because, you know, I think everybody had fun in New Orleans. New Orleans was a, you know, a great city to have a lot of fun, but everybody was focused when they went to practice, when they went to get the things done. Everybody was focused, and they got the job done.
By the way, I'm looking at the final stats. They don't have time of possession on here, so we'll go with 45.
That made me feel bad either.
No, he was right. He was right. I looked it up, and I wish I'd have looked it before I called in. But it was 65-35 split of time of possession.
Well, Herschel, you bring up the special teams, and it really is a beautiful thing when the offense, the defense, and the kicking game play off of each other. And we certainly had that in the Sugar Bowl. And, Frank, it started with Terry Hogue's blocked field goal. They were up 3-0. They were driving again. But the sensational freshman's blocked kick, we always joke, Herschel was the most heavily recruited player. Terry might have been the most lightly recruited player. And they were both Hall of Famers. But Hogue's kick really got us going.
It did, but remember, Coach Russell, during the watching films, noticed that their kicker had a low trajectory on his field goals. And so it wasn't just something that we just happened during the game. We practiced it. You probably heard the story of me getting kicked by Freddie Gilbert first. Freddie was the first person who was going to try to jump off my back and block it. And in practice, he goes, the ball snapped. I go down on all fours. He goes to, he was a high hurdler in high school, as you know. He goes up to step up my back and didn't quite reach high enough, and his foot kicks me in the butt, and I get a big old Charlie horse. And so Coach Russell decides to put Terry Hogue in there and let him try it. Well, believe it or not, he does exactly the same thing. And so when we got into the game, I just told Terry, I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot at their legs, the guard and tackle legs, so they'll naturally want to bend down to protect their knees. And hopefully I'll give you a shot. And it did work. And actually later on in the game, I told Terry, I said, Terry, after he'd already blocked, I said, Terry, they figured this out. I said, you're going to get flipped. I said, I'm going to try to get through there. And almost worked. I crawled through there because they moved their legs out of the way. And I could feel the air of the ball on my hands. But all that was because Coach Russell had studied the films and recognized, which he always did, always had an ability to recognize little tendencies and little things that you know, normal eye wouldn't see. And then as far as special teams, Herschel, I think, will agree. I think what made that team special was really the guys that were on special teams that could have really been disruptive forces on that team. They had started in the previous years, and for whatever reason, that year they weren't starting. Donnie Mack was started the Tennessee game. Of course, Herschel ended up being our tailback. And Donnie could have been a disruptive force. Instead, he became a major special teams force for us. And so all through the year, Greg Bell blocking the punt, Freddie Gilbert returning, Warner returning punts. I mean, you can go on and on. Rex kicking crucial field goals, punters punting balls when they need to be have big time punts at Tennessee. So to me, the play that epitomized the 1980 team the most, I felt like, was in the Sugar Bowl when we kicked off. Steve Kelly hits the ball out. The guys get confused trying to receive it, and Bob lands on it. Now, either one of those guys who had been previous starters decides not to go full speed. And I'm talking about even go 99%. That play never occurs because it was that close when you look at the film. And so, to me, that was the total team concept where everybody had a responsibility, and everybody took that responsibility serious and was not a disruption to the team.
Herschel, would you like to add to that?
I think that's 100% correct, because one of the things that you would notice that once you become a team, everybody want to be a part of that team. Everybody want to be – they want to get them some. And I think everyone want to fit in where they can get in. And I think that's what makes it great. It's sort of like, you know, even though I may have been on offense sometimes, like, man, can I get on special team because they're doing something great? Or, man, look at that defense. Hey, can I play defense, coach? No, Herschel, you're on offense. You tell them, hey, can I play – you know, you just want to play – because now it is, you're having fun. And that's what this game is. This game is a game you want to have fun at. You want to go out and do your best and not, you know, when you go into a game tense and, you know, your coaches have gave you a great program, but yet you're so tense and you're so worried about everything, you can't go out and have fun. Well, I think those years we went out and had fun. I'm talking, we loved each other. We loved hanging around each other. We loved being with each other in the dorm. We love getting out on the field with each other. And I think that makes a huge difference in how you play.
Herschel, after Rex's field goal, Frank just alluded to it, the Kelly boys get in there and get on the loose ball. Then you get our first touchdown of the day. And I wanted to ask you this. In the Tech game, you jumped and got a touchdown. But this was the first game, I think, when you went full-on Superman mode and went way over the top there. Do you remember, was that something maybe that you worked on during the time between the Tech game and the Notre Dame game, or was that just something that happened?
There's something that happened. You know, I think I hurt my shoulder. And so I figured, you know, instead of going through them, why don't I go over them? You know, you might as well figure something out. So I'm smarter than I look sometimes. So I figured going over them may be the easiest path to a success.
Now, when you hurt the shoulder on our second play of the game, of course, everybody's hearts just sunk into their shoes. Can you take us through when it popped out and then you went over to the bench and you got it back in, that whole story?
Well, you know, when it came out, it felt different. I still can remember the feeling because I've had it come out after that. It's sort of like one side of your body goes numb because of, I think, the nerves and stuff. And when the doctor was telling me that I can't play, I'm thinking, why? And they said, because your shoulder's out of place. You know, I'm not that smart. I'm like, that means if it's out of place, it means you put it back. And I think he may have said surgery have to do that. And I'm thinking, well, if surgery didn't take it out, why do you have to do it back with surgery? So I remember, I don't know how they did it, and they popped it back in place. And what's so strange about it, it hurt worse when it was out than it did when it was back in. So I don't know why you can't rub a little dirt on it and get out there and play. You know, that's where I grew up, to rub some dirt on it, go out there and play. And, you know, you can't hurt it any worse. It already came out. So how in the world could it get worse and stuff? So I don't think about stuff like that. You know, plus you got a team. And you know, and I look at it now that no matter what, you have a team, and I want to be a part of it. That's just like what we just said. My team is out there playing. Man, they're having fun. I don't want to sit on the bench over there not having – I want to get in, too, and stuff and have fun, too. So I think that's what it is more than anything. Got nothing to do with injuries. That's the difference between injury and being hurt and stuff. Right. If you're hurt, it may have been broken, meaning that I can't use it anymore. But when I'm injured, you know, it just popped out. They pop it back in. You rub dirt on it, go out there and play, and you'll be all right.
I wanted to run through here, Herschel, talking about the offensive line and Nat Hudson, Tim Morrison, Hugh Nall, Jeff Harper, Jim Blakewood, Wayne Radloff, Joe Happy, all those guys, how great they were. Great tight ends, great receivers, great fullbacks. I'm going to ask you both here, Herschel, on your second touchdown on the toss sweep right, Jimmy Womack made what has to be the greatest block in the history of college football when he de-cleated the Irish outside linebacker defensive end. Could you see that at all from your angle? Obviously, I know you've seen it on tape. Or could you feel it? Or what do you remember about that block? And were you even aware of it at the time?
You know, I know I could see that. You know, and you know, I always knew, you know, from the season, Jim Womack and also Ronnie Stewart, they're going to knock your head off. I knew that. There's not a doubt in my mind. If they got a block, you know, I don't even have to see it. I knew that block is going to happen. And so that's why I said that, you know, it is strange that people don't notice things. Sometimes they notice Herschel running, but notice, like you just notice that block. You know, people see that block and you go, wow. And so if I don't score on things like that, I'm not any good. And so that's why I always tell her that my fullbacks and my offensive linemen, I wish that people can stop and say, hey, these people got to be honored because, you know, they did one heck of a job. You know, that block, you know, you see him, he knocked this guy. I guarantee this guy is glad that they don't have social media today because he'll be all over the screen if they did.
Frank, on the bench, I don't know if you were sitting down at the time or if you were up, but was that one of those type blocks when Jimmy hit that outside linebacker? Did the whole bench just go, ooh, when that happened?
Yeah, actually, funny thing is, Jeff, the guy was actually either one of their safeties, one of their corners, because he ended up at Denver Broncos with me.
And, okay.
I remember giving him a hard time about getting nailed on that play. I think his name was Gibbons. Don't ask why I remember that name. But I saw the play, and I mean, hatchet head just almost decapitated the poor guy. And Herschel, of course, with his speed, you know, took off and got to the corner of the end zone. So it was a, I mean, again, it's like Herschel says, it takes a team to make things happen. And as you know, all the players had to make do their part so Herschel could do his part. And that's what made that team so special.
All right, we will continue on with two of the great Bulldogs of all time, Frank Ross and Herschel Walker. 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Dogs over Notre Dame here on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network.
From the farmer's field that produces your food to the football field where your home team plays, Georgia Farm Bureau is committed to helping Georgia communities thrive. Georgia Farm Bureau provides peace of mind to families through home, auto, and life insurance with affordable coverage and fast claim services. By insuring with Georgia Farm Bureau, you're making an investment in Georgia agriculture, Georgia farmers, and Georgia families. With more than 150 offices in the state, Georgia Farm Bureau is always the home team.
Welcome back to 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Bulldog legends Herschel Walker and Frank Ross with us. Well, Frank, we just talked about the big block and Herschel's second touchdown. That was set up by a big play from the defense. They had a terrific fullback in John Sweeney. You're able to knock it loose. Chris Welton lands on the ball, and there's just a great example of our defense setting up our offense. And one of the things that we've talked about a lot, this team led the nation in turnover margin all year. We were plus four on the day, plus the kickoff that they misplaced, so technically plus five. And the total return yards in this game was 44-2. That's four first downs right there. So those two stats that were with us all year long showed up huge in the biggest game of all.
Again, it's just is the philosophy that Coach Russell put in our heads. You know, hustle, do your responsibility and hustle the ball. Good things will happen. I'd rather be lucky than good. I mean, all the things that he taught us. And if you actually bought into it, you realize that he was right and things come true. But it was the whole year. I mean, if the defense wasn't clicking, the special teams would create a turnover, as it did in the Tennessee game, in the Clemson game, the Notre Dame game, the Auburn game. Other times, you know, the offense was clicking and everybody else was kind of, you know, trying to hang on. Sometimes the defense took over. So it really was, again, everybody doing their part and taking their responsibility to the fullest and executing the game plan.
Herschel, could you feel, and listen, I'd love for us to go out and win every game 35-0. It doesn't work that way. But with all the close games, Tennessee, Clemson, on and on through South Carolina and Florida, with each close victory that we pulled out, did you feel the confidence and the belief in this team grow more and more?
I did. What was so strange about it is, like I said, it was so weird because I don't think this team felt that they can lose. I don't care what the score was. And a prime example is, you know, I go back to the Florida game. You know, we're down, which I think most everyone may have felt that, uh-oh, it's over. But I hate to say it, but I don't think anyone on the sideline of Georgia or any coach or any player felt that we were going to lose that game. Because I know I didn't. I never thought about it. And I think that's the way it was the whole time, that we never thought that we can lose, because we always thought that as long as we did our job, as long as we go out and play, we're not looking at that scoreboard until at the end of the game. And if we do that, we're going to be ahead. And as Frank said, we go out and everybody do their job. You know, if this guy may fail here, I'm going to pick it up and make him look good. He's going to do the same for me. And that's the way it works. It ain't like, you know, Herschel Walker is a star. No, because you got Nat Husson, you got Tim Morrison, you got Harper, you got all these other guys right there, Bradlaugh. So one day I may have it bad, but then they go better block, like you just mentioned, Womack. You're throwing that great block for me outside or you know, on the special team. Like Frank said, he and Terry Hole make this thing. You know, everybody was working together. And I think that's the biggest key. And that's the biggest key with any team that wins championships. I hate to say it. Any team that wins championships got to have that camaraderie where they like each other. They love playing the game. And I don't think too many people that win championships can say, oh, man, I hated this guy. You know, maybe a few. But the majority of the people that had success going to say, man, I love playing. I love going to work. I love going to practice. That's what was so weird. I think we love going to practice. How many people can say they like go to practice? But we love going to practice. We love being with each other. And that's what made a big key right there.
Guys, I want to talk about the seniors here on defense for just a moment. Frank, you had 10 tackles and caused a fumble. Chris Welton, 10 tackles. He had the recovered fumble, broke up two passes. Robert Miles, 5 tackles. Jeff Hipp, 9 tackles. Mike Fisher, the interception. Bob Kelly recovered the fumble on the kickoff. Pat McShay, 2 stops and a quarterback hurry. And then there was Scott Werner, Frank, the defensive MVP. He had the 2 enormous interceptions, broke up a couple of other passes, and he was truly an All-American this day.
I mean, Scott had an ability, and I guess it's the confidence that he has internal to take risk. A lot of us didn't have that. I know I didn't have the risk ability that he did. He had guts, I'm going to tell you. But, you know, when you do that, you're going to either do great things or things can happen to you. And he ended up on the good side of that majority of the time. I remember towards the end of the game, it was 3rd and short. And it was towards the end of the game where they were trying to close the score. And I looked to my left, and Scott is at the line of scrimmage. He's a cornerback. He's supposed to be out there with the receiver. And I look next to me, and there's Scott. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." And he just had a gut feeling they're running a tall sweep to our side. And sure enough, as soon as the ball snapped, he took off in there and made a play. Now, if that quarterback had been astute, he'd have called audible and thrown a touchdown to the receiver because he was wide open. But Scott had that ability, which is just either you have it or you don't. And being a great athlete as he was, obviously helped a lot. But to me, just his ability to be able to sense things and make things happen, it was a really uncanny ability.
Yeah, and Scott, I remember when he had the interception that gave us the ball for the last time, their last play, Frank Broyles said on the television broadcast, "Scott Werner is a winner." And obviously then Buck got the completion, the amp, and we were able to hang on and win the game there. But Herschel, you know, for you and Scott had so many electric moments. Even going back to the Tech game, he had a long kickoff return that set up your second touchdown. It seemed like if Scott would make a big play on defense or in a return, it would really ignite the offense.
Well, you know, one of the things that people forget about Scott was an incredible, incredible athlete, as Frank was saying, because Scott was a decathlete.
Yeah.
And people don't realize the type of quality of athlete he really was. And the guy can do some amazing things. And having a mind, a football mind with that ability, he's always going to be able to do great things. And that's what I was saying. You know, during these football time, people may talk about Herschel Walker, but they start naming some of these other players like Meat Cleaver. They start naming all these other players that made some plays and did some things that was, you know, pain. You know, you start naming people like that. And you go, man, this is what a team is. You know, you may have one guy out there, even Buck. You know, people forget, you know, Buck was the general. Buck was the play caller. You know, things don't happen without that quarterback. You know, when the time came that we needed him, he connected with Lindsey. Lindsey did what he needed to do. Amp, when he caught that pass, what we needed to do, we got it done. And that's what I think is so, so important here. What you needed to do, you got it done because you were prepared. It wasn't that you were out there saying, "Oh, man, I can't," you know, complaining that, "Oh, I'm not getting the ball. I'm doing this. I'm doing that." You know, when your name was called, you were ready to step to the plate. And Scott's name was called a lot. You know, special team, the guy, whenever, I can guarantee you, whenever he was returning a punt, we got excited to go look. Everybody mm-hmm. wanted to see what he was going to do because you knew the guy was going to do some incredible stuff.
Herschel, again, going back, you just threw out Meat Cleaver Weaver, Jimmy Payne, Tim Crow on the defensive line. Nate Taylor had a great Sugar Bowl as well. We've talked about this a lot throughout this series. And obviously, you had a firsthand view of it, as did Frank on the other side. But every day, we had a great offensive line. We had a great defensive line. Football's won in the trenches. Talk about iron sharpening iron. Those guys battling each other every day, what that meant to this team.
Well, you know, one thing, think about this right here. You know, sometimes you have receivers that, you know, get displaced because they're not getting the ball. Look at the film of Georgia receivers blocking downfield. When mm-hmm. I'm downfield, they're down there with me. They're blocking. They're throwing the crucial block to get me free. Hey, that's special. That's very special that people don't realize that you have a team that's gelling the way we were gelling because – we went out at the beginning of the season. It didn't just start like against Tennessee. It started in training camp. and started in training camp where we may have had these arguments and like wanted to beat each other up and this and that, but we became brothers. We became brothers that we liked each other. We love each other. And one thing about it is we may have wanted to beat each other up, but I guarantee you nobody else outside would come within that rank because that's the way we were. And I said, that's the way, and to be honest with you, I know in my life today, I've tried to carry that same type of atmosphere into my life today, that we have to be that type, that closeness. And, you know, like if when I got hurt, people forget, remember the third game of the season, I got hurt. But a tailbite that had to step in, they stepped in and they did an incredible job. I don't think I played, I don't remember. Oh, Texas, was it TCU?
TCU, yeah.
TCU, you know, that's the team you have that when something goes down, someone else stepped to the plate, they're ready. You know, those guys could have been playing over there, goofing off, but no, they were ready to step in and take control. And I said, that is what you call a team, that one guy may go down, but the other guy's ready to step in and, you know, and take cover of that. And I think that's what makes a great, great team. That's what makes championship teams.
Frank?
I think, you know, like I said earlier, the key to that team is we had guys who were committed and that eliminated disruptors. And you can have one or two disruptors can cause a lot of problems. And fortunately, we were, like Herschel said, started off in the spring before our senior year where we made a commitment. And I never heard us make the commitment to a national championship. It was always SEC champions when I played them my first 3 years. And I was wondering why we never were shooting for a national championship. So we really started there. But on defense, to give you an example, we decided we're going to try to develop some young guys. And we had Tommy Thurston at the Will linebacker and Will Forts at the Mike linebacker. And Nate and I would start, and then Thurston would come in with me the second series, and then Will would go in with Nate the third series, and then when things got tight, Nate and I would go back in there. But what we're doing is we're developing this young talent, and we could have been upset as starters and say, oh, man, I want to play the whole time. Why am I having to do this? But, no, we understood the bigger picture, and the bigger picture was we may need these guys down the road. And so we did that on the defensive line. We alternated. You know, we had Tim Parks, Meek Cleaver, Creamans, Crow. Those guys were also alternating. Defensive backfield, you had, you know, six guys that actually played at the four positions. There was a lot of stuff that was going on, but it was all for the greater good of the team. And at the end of the day, it was the right thing to do. But I just think the key thing was everybody bought into their responsibility, and we had no disruptors that year.
I think what you can say is everybody drank the Kool-Aid that the coach was giving. Everybody drank the Kool-Aid that we were on the same page. We didn't have anyone on that team that went outside and started going to something else. Everybody was and then that's what you got to do to win. Everyone's got to be on the same page, and that's the only way you can get it done. You can't have one guy that be the fly in the ointment, and I think that what made a big, big difference there. And as I said early on, because when you start having success, everybody want to be a part of it. I don't care what it is. You know, like I said, you know, I may have been a running back, but, you know, on Saturdays, if you see the special team doing well, it's sort of like, man, let me get on. I'd like to be on that team. And the coach is like, no, you got to work to be on this team. So it's like you start working to try to get on that team as well. And defense are playing well. Like, man, I like to be on that team. No, you can't. You know, it is weird because everybody want to play. But then that's what you get when you're building a champion. That is not – you can't be selfish. I think when you start being selfish, I think that can hurt a program.
Hey, Jeff, one thing that I think we need to give credit to where credit's due, and that's the coaching staff, obviously by the leadership of Coach Dooley. That year had us really believing that if we didn't play our best every game, it's going to be hard to win. And then we took that attitude, and they made us focus on one game at a time. And that's the, out of my 4 years – is the only time I saw us really, like Herschel says, drink the Kool-Aid, and it was good Kool-Aid, by the way. Yeah, it was sugar in it, had a lot of good sugar in it, to make sure that we focus on that one game only. And if you look at our record, we could have easily been 5-6, 6-5, if you look at the scores and how we pulled them off at the end. But the fact that the coaches did a great job of keeping us dialed in one game at a time, and the example I use during the scout report for Vanderbilt, that is convinced that if we didn't play our absolute best, we could get beat. And I remember, I think it was Coach Lewis had the scouting report, and he starts naming the players off that we're going to be playing against. And he mentioned players, you know, this guy's 6'5", 300, runs a 4.5. You know, I mean, like, come on, let's be real. But that's the kind of stuff that we bought into. And at the end of the day, by doing that, you get results like we got and won a national championship.
Frank, when we got the ball back the last time, there was 2:56 to go. Buck hits Amp for the first time. At that point, they're 5 feet, 11 inches under. And then Herschel breaks off a couple of runs, and that puts it away. After those two first downs, I mean, the defense, you did so much. Was there the sense of relief? Could you sense that we had it? What's going through your mind at that point?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't. The only time I felt comfortable enough, and even Coach Dooley wasn't comfortable with it, is when I think it was 3rd and 11. I can't remember the exact number, but we threw to Amp, and that meant that Notre Dame was out of timeouts. We had a first down, so there's no way they could really come back. And that's when I turned to Coach Dooley on the sideline and said, "We've done it." And he looked at me, used a couple of expletives, and said, "It's not over till the clock 0:00. I said, "Coach, they have no timeouts left." And then he kind of had a little smile, but then got all serious again. But that's the only time I felt comfortable, is when I knew that the game was over. They had no timeouts, and we had a first down.
Herschel, is it, you know, it's kind of crazy in sports, I guess, when you get to that pinnacle, and this is our greatest moment still to this day, the national championship. You guys have been together. You've done all this. You have the greatest moment. And then the season's over. You know, there's this massive humanity coming onto the field. Every Georgia Bulldog in the world was the happiest they've ever been. What do you recall about the end?
I think that we did it. But, you know, as I think probably the majority of the people on that team, even though we were joyed because we've done that, I think we were sort of sad because now we know we're going to be broken up. You know, we're going to have our leaders not going to be leading. Our family are going off, as you said, they're not going off to college, already in college, but they're going off to their life now. I think that was probably, even though it was joy, but it was sadness because, you know, your family, some of your family are leaving now. And I think that's what was sort of weird. But that shows you the closeness of this team, that we win a championship and we're happy with the championship, but we're worried about now we're going to be broken up. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big thing that I think a lot of people thought about.
Frank, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you had three emotions. I think you had elation. I think you had relief. And then I think you had this gut feeling that this special group of guys were never going to be together again as that particular group because the seniors were moving on. One thing that I do remember and is this, and I think our team should take extreme pride, is very few people in this world that can say that for one moment in time, they were part of the best in the world. And for one moment in time on the floor of the Superdome, we were the best in the world for that moment. And that's something I think we don't sometimes recognize, but it's a very special feeling. And you kind of felt that way when the celebration was taking place. But you're also, I mean, I've never been that exhausted in my life, I'll be honest with you. And so you also had that relief feeling. It was a mix of emotions, and the craziness that was taking place in the middle of the field made it even crazier.
We'll have a final word with two of the great Bulldogs of all time, Herschel Walker and Frank Ross, as we continue on 40-for-80, the sweetest season. Georgia's victory over Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl here on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
From the farmer's field that produces your food to the football field where your home team plays, Georgia Farm Bureau is committed to helping Georgia communities thrive. Georgia Farm Bureau provides peace of mind to families through home, auto, and life insurance with affordable coverage and fast claim services. By insuring with Georgia Farm Bureau, you're making an investment in Georgia agriculture, Georgia farmers, and Georgia families. With more than 150 offices in the state, Georgia Farm Bureau is always the home team.
Welcome back to 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Bulldog legends Frank Ross and Herschel Walker with us here. And obviously this national championship was the pinnacle, but there were three more great years to come. Herschel, you were a part of those two. And, you know, Frank made mention there with guys like Tommy Thurston and Freddie Gilbert, who were members of your freshman class, Clarence Kay on the offensive side of the ball, some other really good young players there. With that leadership that we had in 1980, that camaraderie that team had, we had some very good heir apparents who had their mentors, and I think that certainly showed in what we were able to do the next few years.
It did, and I think that just gives credit to the leadership of the 1980s. You know, you teach the young guys, as Frank was saying early on, like the Tommy Thurston and, you know, the different guys like that that came in, that now they got that, they drank the Kool-Aid from the year before. So now whoever coming in now, you give that same brand to the next guy coming up. And I think because of that leadership, you learn from them. You learn from them and you believe. You have that faith and you go out and you just play. Because, you know, I always tell people, a great athlete and an okay athlete is only a little bit of difference. The majority of it is going to be here, that you're going to go out and you're going to work your tail off. You're going to go out and remember that this is a team and not be selfish. And remember, you got to work together. And I think that's what happened with this team here. Went from the 80 team that gave us that that philosophy and doing your job, and it rolled over into the year after year and stuff. And I think that played a big part.
Guys, I'll ask you both this. Frank, I'll start with you. As time has gone by, your bond has grown even stronger. And with all that you've accomplished professionally for all of you, is that national championship, does it get sweeter and sweeter each year when you realize the class of people that were involved with it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think as you age, and I think I said this recently, I love for another young group of guys to experience what we did and then experience how we feel 30 years later. It's a real sense of pride that we won a national championship, but really what brings that pride is the guys that you played with, and we've stayed close through all these years. You can pick up the phone and call any of these guys, and it just like it was yesterday. So there's a great sense of pride to have played with such a great group of guys, and then not just that, but to stay together for 40 years.
And Herschel, 3 years here at the University of Georgia for you, three unlike any, and you had an incredible professional career as well, and you've gone on to do so much, but I know that those 3 years at Georgia, especially 1980, are extra special to you.
Oh, it's very special to me. And, you know, and like I said, I owe the University of Georgia a great deal. It's sad. I owe them a great deal. And all the kids that there now that's playing, whatever sport it is, I say to them, guys, cherish these moments right now. You know, what we did in 1980, people see how difficult it is to do. You only have one each year, and how difficult it is to reach that pinnacle. And whether you reach that pinnacle or not, always have faith and always go out and work. Always believe in your team. And for me, I tell people, you know, that getting to the University of Georgia was an interesting way. But while I was there, I couldn't ask for anything better. The Athens, the town, the people, my teammates, that couldn't have been anything better than going to the University of Georgia. And so I'm waiting for that next championship to come out of the University of Georgia. I think Coach Smart can do it. And it's going to be difficult. You know, it was difficult for us. You know, I'm not going to say it was easy, but I'll tell you what, we had fun doing it. And that's what the key was. We had fun doing it. And I can't say, and it got nothing to do with winning a championship. I think it got to do with the people, the coaches, my teammates, the University of Georgia, had to do with the people. We had fun doing it. And that's what I think means more than anything.
It's still our greatest day. And Frank, Herschel, I want to thank you both for taking the time. And I want to thank you both on behalf of every Bulldog fan out there. I was a tiny little 8-year-old just jumping up and down like crazy in Statesboro, Georgia, when we pulled it out. I always joke with everybody, I peaked at age 8. So on behalf of every Georgia fan out there, thank you both for all you've done, the class and everything that you've shown, the honor that you brought for the university. Every Bulldog loves both of you. Thank you both so much.
Hey, thank you.
Jeff. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you, and thank you for all you do and being the number one Bulldog fan.
Thank you both so much. Our distinguished guests today, Frank Ross and Herschel Walker. Thanks to our producers and engineers, Alan Thomas, Mike Bilbo, Cabell Philpott, Drew Bracken, and Rick Starrett. And thank you again to our distinguished guests, the great Herschel Walker and the great Frank Ross. That'll do it for this series. 40 for 80. Georgia has beaten Notre Dame 17-10, and the Chapel Bell is ringing loud and proud forever.
The 40 for 80 podcast is presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team.